Baseball Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee along with senior editor Eric at Home, the Pro Football Weekly staff. Welcome to an in-depth look at professional football. Coming up, team needs and free agency.
We look at the ramifications of the bounty scandal in New Orleans, break down all 32 teams' needs and free agency, and of course, the biggest free agent of them all, Peyton Manning, and where he might end up.
It's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
I've been a Colt for almost all of my adult life. But I guess in life and in sports, we all know that nothing lasts forever. Times change, circumstances change, and that's the reality of playing in the NFL.
The voice of former Colts quarterback Peyton Manning, and isn't that strange to say, former Colts quarterback Peyton Manning, who is now a free agency. Hi, everybody. Along with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkish, this is Wayne Larrabee, and we welcome you to this edition of Pro Football Weekly. The big story this week, obviously, is it's now official in Indianapolis. The Colts and Peyton Manning have parted ways. Arthur Arkish, our associate editor, covers the Colts. We begin with him in today's edition. Arthur, plenty of posturing and politicking throughout the Peyton Manning saga. What was your personal view of this press conference?
Well, I thought it was very heartfelt. I mean, you just have to listen to Peyton talk, and gosh, that's a side of him that we haven't seen much over the past 14 years. The same can be said for Jim Irsay. I think whenever Jim is short for words, having a hard time talking, I think that's a pretty rare occurrence and really gives you an idea of just how emotional of a scene this was and truly how genuine it was. I think while there was a lot of politicking, a lot of posturing, I don't think it ever got personal. I don't think there was any animosity. And after the press conference, Peyton got on Jim Irsay's jet to go back to Miami. You saw him get into Jim Irsay's car when they landed at the airport on Tuesday night. So I don't think this ever got personal. I think it was just business and it had to happen.
Yeah, guys, and I just happened to be in Florida trying to get back to Chicago, and they interrupted all the shows. I was sitting in the airport, every channel. Breaking news, Peyton Manning lands in Opa-locka, Florida, are the Dolphins next. So we'll get to that part in just a minute. But, you know, Arthur, I think that's a great analysis because the reality is Jim Irsay is a good guy. He can be a bit of a goof at times when he gets in where he shouldn't, you know, and maybe it'll be interesting to see how he approaches his Twitter accounts and all things Colts now going forward, whether it's right or wrong, this thing behind him. I would also add, though, while I think the presser was very genuine, Arthur, I don't think Peyton Manning's all that unhappy with the outcome. I think this did start to get potentially ugly a couple months ago. I think that Manning and his agent, Tom Condon, realized where it had to go. And I think they know, A, he can still play, and B, he's going to be the most sought-after free agent in the history of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I wrote on our website yesterday, and I think all things considered, given the circumstances, this was the best outcome for both sides. So we know all about Peyton's competitiveness, and we know that he is going to want to stick it to the Colts. There may not be any animosity, but certainly he's going to want to prove not only to the Colts, but to the whole NFL landscape that he can still do it, he can still sling it, and he's going to go out there and get paid well to do it.
Are the reports that Peyton offered to restructure his contract to fit under the salary cap for the Colts, are those unfounded?
I don't know if they're unfounded. I think that there was some back and forth between Tom Condon and between the Colts camp to see if they could get something done. But I think at the end of the day, it was kind of just a little bit more of the posturing. I think everyone knew that this is the way it was going to eventually end up. And as we just discussed, I don't think Peyton's really all that unhappy about it. He's going to find himself in a better situation with a better chance to win another Super Bowl soon.
How about the Colts themselves now? Where do they go next with their free agency situation?
Well, there's plenty of work left to do. You got a lot of guys who are going to be asked to restructure deals. You talk about a Dwight Freeney, a Dallas Clark. These are guys that they would certainly like to have back in the mix and are good core guys that you want to build around. But particularly in the case of Dwight Freeney, he's got a $19 million cap figure for this year. That's not going to fly, so he's definitely going to be asked to restructure. And then there's just plenty of holes to fill all over this roster. You got Andrew Luck coming in. He doesn't really have anyone to throw the ball to. So between wide receiver, defensive tackle, there's all kinds of needs they're going to have to address, and we do expect there to be some more house cleaning from within.
Arthur, great job on that story. Let's pick it up with Associate Editor Kevin Fishbane. All right, Kevin, Miami Dolphins, Peyton Manning's in Florida. Are we putting two and two together here?
Oh, I was wondering if Stephen Ross's helicopter was outside, yes, Peyton Manning's condo out there in South Beach to get started. I mean, we all knew from the get-go that Stephen Ross is, you know, the word we heard used was infatuated with Peyton Manning, because for an owner like Ross, here's a guy that not only can maybe get your team back to the Super Bowl, but also someone that can sell a whole lot of tickets to a franchise that's lost a lot of season ticket holders over the year. You know, the Dolphins have a pretty good push too. I mean, when they go forward to Peyton Manning, they say, hey, we got Brandon Marshall, we got Reggie Bush, we have one of the best left tackles in the game in Jake Long, a pretty good defense that needs a couple more parts. And the other thing is the Dolphins will probably try to get Reggie Wayne to come with, and Wayne did play his college ball in Miami. So there's a lot of factors working in Miami's favor.
You know, the interesting thing about this to me, Kevin, and again, I'm not kidding, I'm serious, I just happen to be trying to get back from some business in Florida, and in the expectation that has been created by Ross's previous foibles, all of the owned and operated network news operations, the local shows down in Florida, interrupted live programming when that plane landed at the Opa-locka Airport. Now, the reality is Manning has a home on South Beach. He was returning to his winter home. It had nothing to do with the Dolphins. But with the expectations that have been created now by Ross, I can't imagine the fallout he's going to have if he doesn't get something done.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fan base that already put up a billboard to try to get Manning to Miami. I mean, they've been crazy looking for that next quarterback since Dan Marino. They've sure have gone through a lot of pretty mediocre ones, and this is someone that they see as not only the next, you know, great quarterback in Miami, but also someone that could be the key to get this team back, you know, to the promised land for the Dolphins. And the other thing about it is, you know, there's the Joe Philbin connection in terms of Matt Flynn. I mean, Stephen Ross has three chances to land a quarterback. It starts with Peyton. If he can't get Peyton, then it's Matt Flynn. And if he can't get Matt Flynn, it's Robert Griffin III. And we've seen Stephen Ross botch a couple big things at the head coaching realm over the past couple years. If he can't land one of those three quarterbacks, you know, he might want to go run away because they're going to be coming after him with pitchforks in Miami.
Well, nearly a couple of decades ago, the Chiefs are trying to find the next great quarterback after Len Dawson. They found Joe Montana at the end of his career. Hub, does Peyton have more in his tank than Joe Montana had when he left San Francisco for Kansas City?
You know, it would appear that way to me only because I'm somewhat familiar with the nature of these neck injuries. And just seeing that pirate video on YouTube of him throwing, he doesn't look far away. I don't want to try and judge from pirate video. Montana had arm problems. People forget that, you know, but it was the elbow, it was the arm. He was not the same quarterback. A pretty good chance that Peyton Manning could be, and 100% of Peyton Manning is better than 80% of Joe Montana.
And that video you're talking about was shot from a grassy knoll. Stay tuned. Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages. You're listening to Pro Football Weekly, featuring the publisher and editor, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. We'll be joined in a few moments by senior editor Eric Edholm in studio, but we continue with The Way We Hear It, associate editor Dan Parr. The other big story of these, well, last 10 days or so, the Bounty program in New Orleans. And Dan, give us an update on some of the fallout from that.
Well, right now we're just waiting to hear what the discipline's going to be for the higher-ups in the Saints organization. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, the NFL, really went out of its way to shame those two guys for what was clearly their knowledge of the program and their decision, despite being told not to discontinue the program, to let it continue. So we expect the penalties to be very harsh for them whenever it does come down. The NFL is continuing to gather information on this. The NFLPA is getting involved, launching an investigation of its own. So we're going to see now just how long the Saints are going to be without those two men, and there could be players, of course, involved with suspensions too. 22 to 27 of them, defensive players, were involved with this bounty program.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Dan, but I would think when it's your coaches who are endorsing it and telling you to do it, you're going to be hard-pressed to suspend players for going along with it. Maybe Jonathan Vilma, who's been so high-profile on the thing, but I think the focus really has to stay with the coaches. And you know, we're going to talk to Dan Arkush in a minute because, of course, he covers the Rams and figure out what the impact on them is with Greg Williams. Here's a team that, to our knowledge, wasn't involved, is going to suffer. But the more I've dug into this, the more I'm convinced that this is on Sean Payton more than it is Greg Williams. And I think it would be a shame if it wasn't Payton and Mickey Loomis who they came down the hardest on. If Williams gets, maybe he gets as much, but if he gets more than them, then something's wrong because it is clear that there was knowledge and involvement with the head coach and the GM.
And I think what maybe angered Roger Goodell more than anything was that he felt he was misled, lied to by those two guys. So I do believe that you're right, that those are the two guys to watch. Those are the guys that could face maybe the stiffest penalties when this is all said and done. And, you know, not surprisingly, the trail has gone cold here. I've been calling five or six players from that team that played for the Saints over the past few years and left voicemails. Have not heard back from them. Darren Sharper, who's the only player that I've heard come out and say that this didn't go on, has denied the allegations. We've been told that he's no longer discussing the topic.
Yeah, his comments were disingenuous at best. Now, Tom Benson, reportedly in the middle of all this, actually ordered this practice to be stopped. Did he not, Dan? Is that true?
That's according to the NFL's report, that he told Mickey Loomis, general manager, to make sure that this stopped, and that Mickey Loomis said he would, and then did not carry out his orders. So despite all that, all indications are that Tom Benson is being fully supportive of Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, so he's still in their corner, but he may be without them for a while, pending this discipline from the NFL's investigation.
Well, and guys, you know, I think Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis have both said adamantly that Benson was not in favor of this, that he did tell him to stop, that they're embarrassed because they embarrassed him and they've apologized. So I think Benson's hands probably are clean. And again, as you dig into this, I think Mickey Loomis is probably guilty of just inaction or leaving it for somebody else as much as anything else. Again, he's the GM. He's not the guy in the locker room, in the hotel every night. I'm not saying that he's innocent, but you know, his crime is almost, I keep thinking of Joe Paterno, you know, who should have done more and didn't. But to me, the arrow keeps coming back on Sean Payton. And then, Dan, comes the more interesting part of all that's going on in New Orleans, is they're in salary cap hell. They couldn't get a deal done with Drew Brees. That's probably going to cost them one or both of Carl Nixon, Marcus Colston, maybe Tracy Porter. And so this team's got all kinds of problems going on.
Yeah, right now it looks like it's going to cost both Carl Nixon and Marcus Colston. You know, Nick's arguably the best guard in the game right now. Marcus Colston's been their best and most consistent receiver since Drew Brees showed up in New Orleans. So, yeah, it's a big question mark now going forward, is just how big of the holes are they going to have on this roster, a team that's been to the playoffs 3 years in a row, that considers itself a championship contender. It's going to be weakened in some key areas. Now, they are without a first-round pick this offseason that was traded last year to be in position to draft Mark Ingram. So they're not going to be able to find a high-impact player at the top of the draft. And they don't have much salary cap space to work within free agency. They restructured Will Smith's deal to save them, to clear up about $5 million in cap space. But right now, their face of the franchise, Drew Brees, pretty unhappy with them. And that was another story, but that didn't exactly reflect all that well on Mickey Loomis, that he didn't, that he was saying at the combine that he considered him a good and not great player. He came out and said that that's not true, that he does feel that way about Drew Brees, but certainly it's not a good situation when a player that they could really, you know, it would clear up so many things for them if they could have a long-term deal done with Brees. They could have used the tag on Nixon or Colston. They lost that opportunity, and things are not looking very good for the Saints right now.
Yeah, they don't have a number one draft choice, and they're liable to lose more draft choices when the NFL comes down with its punishment on Bountygate. Executive editor Dan Arkus joins us, and what's interesting, Dan, on your beat, the Rams, Greg Williams is now their defensive coordinator. There's going to be some fallout here, isn't there?
Absolutely, Wayne. You know, you talk about collateral damage in this whole thing, and when the news first broke late last week, we were hearing out of St. Louis that Williams would probably get hit with a really stiff fine. But then when all these other allegations came out of, you know, Washington and Buffalo and Tennessee, and there was an indication that it was more than just, you know, a one-shot thing, everybody was out for Williams' head nationally. And I think the smart money now is that he'll be lucky if, you know, he gets an eight-game suspension.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the league comes down on that. Still to come, we break down team-by-team needs and free agency when Pro Football Weekly continues. Welcome back to this free agency edition of Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrabee along with Hub Arkus, and we're joined again this week by senior editor Eric Edholm. Free agency gets underway 4 p.m. Tuesday afternoon in the NFL. And let's start with taking a look at the divisions in terms of what teams need in free agency, what their moves might be. And Eric Edholm, let's start in the AFC East. And obviously when you start in the AFC East, you begin with the New England Patriots. They've got a lot of guys who are going to be out there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is Wes Welker, and they franchised him, and they still hope to get a long-term deal. He mentioned on Twitter, I look forward to playing their next season, .. and the next several seasons. So it sounds like, even though there might have been some animosity at one point, they're on the same same page. Now, the question for me, Wayne, I really want to see how aggressive they are. Do they go after a Mike Wallace and give up a first-round pick to do so? Do they make a play for Mario Williams? That's going to be the fascinating thing because they're loaded with draft picks and they can do a lot with those. But I think free agency is part of the equation. Maybe a running back, too. We'll have to see. You know, the Jets are always interesting because, you know, we feel like they're close to possibly a title. They and the Dolphins both will kick Peyton Manning's tires and see whether that's a fit. You know, the Jets have had to cut some salary. Bart Scott is sort of twisting in the wind at this point. I don't think the Buffalo Bills are going to be very active. I just don't know if they can be players for big name guys. I think they're going to be more interested in sort of the average NFL guys, you know, filling spots along the line, all the depth problems they have. So to me, I think you start with the Patriots and expect them to make the big moves, and then you trickle down to see what the Dolphins and Jets may do. Obviously, the Dolphins could be a huge player for Manning.
All right, and meanwhile, the AFC South hub, the Houston Texans got Arian Foster, their great running back, under contract. Can they keep Mario Williams, the defensive lineman, slash linebacker?
You know, Wayne, it's going to be really hard because they basically guaranteed $20 million to Foster, who was restricted. It's pretty much a concession speech on Williams because the franchise tag for defensive ends is the highest in the league, $23 million, and they're really comfortable with all the young talent they have on defense. They don't want to lose Williams, but they've also got offensive line problems. Both their starting center and guard are in free agency right now. And so for the Texans, it's really a battle just to avoid attrition. And so I suspect Mario Williams, other than Peyton Manning, is going to be the biggest name you're going to hear moving in free agency. Now, we talk about the Indianapolis Colts at length. They hung a franchise tag on Robert Mathis, which really surprised a lot of people. As Arthur Arkus reported in our way we hear it, we think they're going to try and get Dallas Clark done. Everybody else you can say goodbye to. Reggie Wayne may go with Peyton Manning, but he probably will not be an Indianapolis Colt again. And this is a team that is committed to rebuilding. They're going to draft Andrew Luck with the first pick overall, so don't expect them to be big buyers in free agency. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, should be kind of quiet. Nobody they're terribly concerned about. They got a deal done with Rasheen Mathis, who is, you know, one of the better cornerbacks in the league, and they're at such a premium, you don't want to lose him. That just happened late this week, so that left them some room to look elsewhere. They would love to upgrade a little bit on the offensive line. They've had too many injuries on the defensive line, but as far as their own people, not too much to worry about. Tennessee Titans, you know, interesting ball club. They've got Jason Jones, a pretty highly thought of defensive tackle, and we don't know if they're going to be able to get anything there done or not. Courtland Finnegan has told the world he expects to move on, and I was surprised because Finnegan, one of these guys, is a six-year veteran. I thought, well, a little long in the tooth at cornerback. He's only 28 years old, you know, and this is a guy, he doesn't have the kind of speed you want, but he's got the toughness and he's a leader, and I think he's going to be highly sought after, and yet he's got a little edge to him, and I have to assume that's why Mike Munchak may have decided not to get involved here, because I think they could bring him back, but they're not going to be able to. Also, safety, Jordan Babineau is a guy that they'd kind of like to have around, but for the most part for them, it comes down to defensive end, defensive tackle, Jason Jones. I talked about Jones. Barrett Rudd is their middle linebacker. They just brought him in from Tampa, played the way they expected him to, and yet now we're hearing reports that he may not be back. One of the things the Titans do better than anybody is they develop through the draft under the radar. They've got these guys who become pretty good football players that you really haven't heard of until they've been, you know, making a mark in the league for a year or two. So I would think that in this division that the Texans are the one team you really have to keep an eye on. They've got some major issues. Everybody else is going to be fairly quiet.
Yeah, Texans certainly in the South, and the Jets are a team always worth watching in the AFC East because of what they might do during the offseason. Stay tuned. AFC North and West coming up next on this free agency edition of Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee with Hub Arkush and senior editor Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. We move now in terms of free agency and what teams need and where they might go when free agency gets underway on Tuesday afternoon. And Hub, let's go to the AFC North Division. And obviously, at the top of the division, you've got the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, along with the Chicago Bears, are the poster children for How unimportant can running backs really be in the NFL? Because the big story for Baltimore started with Ray Rice. They franchised him, much like the Bears did with Matt Forte. That means these two are going to get about $7.5 million this year. But then you look at, we just talked about the Texans guaranteed Arian Foster $20 million. The Seattle Seahawks guaranteed Marshawn Lynch almost $20 million. And you look at the disasters with the running backs in free agency last year, and you wonder how these decisions are being made, because clearly Ray Rice is the best of the bunch. The Ravens have got him tied up for one more year. One of the flaws, I believe, for the players in the new CBA is they can franchise Rice up to 3 years in a row, and maybe that's the way to do it, because at the end of those 3 years, you're only going to pay him about $22-24 million, depending on where these salaries go, and so they've solved their biggest problem. Now, Ben Grubbs is next on the list, their offensive guard. They want to keep him. We don't know if they're going to be able to or not. They've got some cap issues. They're not struggling, but it could be tough for them, and then Jarrett Johnson on defense. Other than that, the oldies but goodies are sticking around. You know, we know Ray Lewis and Ed Reed expect to be back, so at least for one more year, the Ravens try and continue to build through the draft. Cincinnati Bengals, big problems on offense. They need a starting running back. They need a couple of wide receivers, including a starter, on the assumption that they won't bring Jerome Simpson back, and they need pass rush. As far as their own guys, you know, nobody they're terribly worried about other than safety Reggie Nelson, who they got from Jacksonville. Had a pretty good year for him last year. Led him in tackles. That's a guy you can expect them to try and get done. The Cleveland Browns will not be players in free agency. They got DeQuell Jackson re-signed. They believe he's one of the most underrated inside linebackers in the game. Other than that, they hung a franchise tag on Phil Dawson, so not a lot to worry about in Cleveland. They won't be big buyers. They could be shopping young veterans who they think can step in and start for a few years. And then we get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what's the story for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Well, it's about as simple as we got to keep Mike Wallace. And they've been restructuring contracts to try and do it. They have already said goodbye to Hines Ward, offensive guard Chris Kiamiatu, defensive end Aaron Smith, the leader of that team, inside linebacker James Ferrier, four key veterans on Pittsburgh's last Super Bowl team that won't be there. They aren't going to be buyers. They don't have enough cap room. They've just got to find a way to keep Mike Wallace, and the odds are that they'll get that done.
Eric, at home, the AFC West is kind of interesting. Number one, I wonder about Denver. Will Elway try to land Peyton Manning? Kansas City Chiefs are interesting. There's been talk that maybe, you know, maybe Matt Castle's not good enough, especially if you can get Peyton Manning. The Oakland Raiders are probably going to be quiet. San Diego Chargers are going to lose Vincent Jackson. Pick it up in the AFC West in terms of free agency.
Yeah, Wayne, let's start with the Broncos and Chiefs and the fact that we know that their representatives contacted Tom Condon, the agent for Peyton Manning. I think both teams are going to do their due diligence, and I think they're going to find out what the price for Manning's going to be, whether he'd be interested in signing in the AFC West with one of their teams, and whether there's interest on their behalf. Obviously, it creates a little awkward situation in Denver with Tim Tebow. We know how that would, you know, sort of divide a nation, but, you know, I think it would be very fascinating to see if that would happen. Kansas City, to me, at least on paper, seems like the more likely scenario. But look, they've got to find a left tackle. I mean, Bear Richardson was probably the worst starting left tackle in the NFL last year, at least according to my watch. And, you know, they have some other needs, but they do have a lot of players coming back. Now, the Oakland Raiders sort of quietly over the last couple of days have redone some contracts. Richard Seymour, they converted some of his base salary into a bonus. Michael Huff, same kind of thing. They've cleared up some cap space. They have a ton of needs and not very many draft picks. So it wouldn't surprise me, especially if they cut or restructure Cameron Wimbley's deal, they could maybe do a couple of little things that nobody really saw coming. So just keep an eye on them in the back of the mind. And then you've got the Chargers, as you mentioned, kind of resigned to the fact that Vincent Jackson's going elsewhere, creates a need at wide receiver. They like the kid out of San Diego State, Vincent Brown, from last year. But he doesn't have that explosive quality. So they're going to have to find it, I think, through the draft. They're kind of resigned to losing some of their pieces in free agency. And, you know, maybe they missed that window, you know, and especially with Philip Rivers coming off what was a disappointing season for him. So it's going to be fascinating to see where they pick up the pieces and go forward.
Yeah, coming up, we head to the NFC when our free agency edition of Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages. Welcome back to this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly. Along with the publisher and editor, Hub Arkish, and the Pro Football Weekly staff of editors, this is Wayne Larrivee. One of our editors with us is Eric Edholm, senior editor. Part of his beat is the NFC East. There's always a lot of news involving the Dallas Cowboys, and they put the tag on the outside linebacker, Anthony Spencer. Philadelphia Eagles did the same with Deshaun Jackson. You know the Giants are always quiet in free agency. All they do is win championships and let these other teams win free agency. And then there's the Washington Washington Redskins, and they've got, you know, they're in the thick of the conversation over Peyton Manning. Go ahead and pick it up with the NFC East, Eric.
Yeah, let's start with Manning and the Redskins. I do think they're interested. I know Mike Shanahan has a ton of respect for Peyton Manning and what he's done. I've heard the opposite is true, that Manning thinks Shanahan is an offensive genius and all that, but I think they're going to kind of throw a little softball offer out there. I don't think it's going to be serious. I still think they are the favorites for Robert Griffin III. So, yes, they'll go in and make a play, but I don't think it's going to be the strongest effort. What I think they're going to do is go after Vincent Jackson. We talked about last segment. They need a number one wide receiver, whether they've got, you know, John Beck or the guy down the street, a quarterback. They do need that guy to stretch the field. I think that's going to be their primary focus in free agency. And that leads us to DeSean Jackson with the Eagles. There has been some fence mending, if you will. There's been some conciliatory talks, I guess, between the two sides as far as their relationship. Andy Reid said good things. But, you know, guys, I still think that's leading to a trade. I still think the reason they use the franchise tag is to protect themselves from losing them and seeing what they can get. If they don't get what they want, okay, then they talk about the franchise tag. Or then they talk about, you know, signing the one-year tender or making a long-term offer. So, to me, there's still the possibility of him going elsewhere. Now, the Cowboys are sitting back, and they've got Spencer on the one-year deal if they want him to. They can work out something long-term. I think they're going to be players in free agency. Brandon Carr, the cornerback for the Chiefs, got to be listed as a possibility. Maybe a little bit less or so, Carl Nix, the guard from the Saints. We've been talking about him all offseason. A quality guy inside. Jerry Jones has talked about the state of the offensive line. So there will be some action here. You know, will the Eagles jump in on a big name linebacker? I don't think so. I think they're going to go middle of the road, guys. They don't value that position. And I think they feel like they've got a roster that's pretty close to contending for a title right now.
All right, let's go to the NFC South, Hub Arkish. You know, the team that has the most money down there, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are reportedly almost $60 million under the cap. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, they are flush with cash. I'm going to get back to them in just one second. I was intrigued. I just heard Eric slip in. He thinks the Redskins are the favorite in the RG3 Derby, which I understand where you're coming from. But that's what makes the Cleveland Browns the most fascinating team in the NFL, because they got if the Cleveland Browns want them, they got them.
Yep.
And you would think with Mike Holmgren they would do it, and yet we're hearing reports that he wants his draft choices, yep, that he doesn't want to pay that price. And I guess that's what makes the Redskins the favorite there. Now, Wayne, you mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, reportedly over $60 million to spend, and we've already heard reports they want to spend it. First, they got to decide about the leader of that team, probably more important even than Greg Schiano, is cornerback Rondé Barber, 16-year veteran, 36 years old, still had a pretty good year last year. Now, they hung the franchise tag on Connor Barth, of all people. You got running back Ernest Graham. This is a team that still wants a number one back, even though LeGarrette Blount looks like the answer, can't stay healthy. They've got outside linebacker Geno Hayes and safety Sean Jones they'd like to keep. Backup quarterback Josh Johnson, I think they want to keep just because they're happy with the Freeman-Johnson situation. So where do they go spend all that money? You know, the team kind of quit on Morris late in the year last year, and so you don't know which side needed more help. Clearly, Josh Freeman took a step backwards, but defense is where they've got to get better. They wouldn't mind shoring up the wide receiver position, but look for them to spend and spend and spend some more on the defensive side of the football. Interesting, the Atlanta Falcons in that division, they've been very successful under Mike Smith, but they can't win a playoff game, and they've got to get better on defense. Now, Curtis Lofton is probably their best defensive player, and he is an unrestricted free agent. They decided to hang the franchise tag on cornerback Brent Grimes, so he'll be back. You got 33-year-old John Abraham as a pass rusher, and they're looking to get better, and yet three of their marquee guys, at least two of them, could be moving on. On the offensive side of the football, nothing too much to worry about. Center Todd McClure, they'd like to have back if they can. We expect the Falcons to be big spenders on defense. Now, could they be a surprise player in the Mario Williams Derby? They don't have anywhere near the cash flexibility that the teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do, but that's where Atlanta wants to improve themselves. Carolina Panthers are in a funny situation. Yeah, Cam Newton shocked everybody. They had a great offense. Bob Chudzinski is the flavor of the month in head coaching candidates. They're broke. They've got no money to spend, and they spent some of it poorly in prior years, particularly the D'Angelo Williams deal. They've got to get better on defense. Their two best defensive players went down in the preseason last year, with John Beeson at middle linebacker and Thomas Davis outside. Now, Davis has offered to redo his contract. Still don't know if he'll be back. Don't know if they're planning on Beeson being healthy. But they got these cap situations. They're not going to spend to keep quarterback Derek Anderson. Middle linebacker Dan Connor is a guy that they'd like to have if they could. I don't think Jeremy Shockey will be back. Maybe Legadou Nane, because both Chudzinski and Rivera are with him in San Diego and they think he's got a shot. And Wayne, that brings us to the New Orleans Saints, who have an absolute nightmare on their hands. You know, you go back to the playoffs last year and what happened. The offense was fine. I mean, maybe you lose a Carl Nix. Maybe you lose a couple receivers. You still got big-time offense. Their problem is they couldn't play very good defense. I'd be stunned if Jonathan Vilma is back. He's got a $4 or $5 million cap hit, and he's the focal point of this whole bounty thing. So assume that they're looking for a middle linebacker. They've got both of their starting nose tackles or inside tackles, Abreo Franklin and Sean Rogers, are free, and cornerback Tracy Porter. Saints are in salary cap hell. They're in free agency hell, and they don't appear to have the ability to fix too much of it. And let's add the final piece. Drew Brees with the franchise tag. Would you believe the franchise tag on quarterbacks is $8 million less than defensive ends? He's only going to get $14.5 million only. I'd take it for sure.
It's a bargain.
but you know, he wanted $18 million a year, which is what Brady and Manning were getting. It's what he should get. So it's not just the guaranteed money that he's unhappy about. The franchise tag at quarterback is just not a good deal.
Yeah, they had to win it last year, Hub. Their window of opportunity is closing in New Orleans, no doubt about that. More free agency previews, NFC North and West, next on Pro Football Weekly. We continue with this free agency edition of Pro Football Weekly, examining the needs of teams across the NFL and how they might fill those needs, at least in the free agency process. The NFC North, or the Chicago Bears, Hub, in recent years have made some big strikes for some big names in free agency that kind of cover up some of their problems in the draft. The Detroit Lions are a team many people are on the cusp of greatness, but they need to address their defense. The Packers never do a whole lot in free agency, and the Vikings are in total rebuilding mode. Give us your capsule on some of these teams in the NFC North.
Yeah, you can really start with the Vikings and say, other than a couple of veterans, they may bring back tight end Vasan Shinkohn, inside linebacker E.J. Henderson. There's not much going on there. They're rebuilding that football team. They want to stockpile draft choices. If they find some third and fourth year guys who they think can become starters for a few years, they could be players, but they're not going to make a big move in Minnesota. Now, you move to the Detroit Lions, the most improved team in the division, maybe in the NFC last year. They still would like to get better in the back seven on defense, and they've got the issue with Cliff Avril, who they did hang a franchise tag on. So nothing desperate for them. Avril's not going anywhere, at least for a year. They'd still rather do a long-term deal to give them some cap flexibility. They know they've got to get better at running back, but you know, the big-time running backs got franchised or signed. They still wouldn't mind another wide receiver to go with Calvin Johnson, so maybe that's where they strike in a very deep group of one of the mid-level guys like a Mario Manningham, or maybe they take a chance on a Steve Smith leaving Philadelphia and trying to be better after a year to rehab that torn knee that he spent in Philadelphia. Wasn't really productive. Chicago Bears, well, they got nothing but needs. They're desperate at wide receiver. They need a starting cornerback. They've got to get better on the offensive line, and they need a starting defensive end and defensive tackle. As far as their own free agents, the only guy to think about right now is Israel Adonijé, their starting left defensive end. They franchised Matt Forte. There's just nobody else that they're worried about much one way or the other. A couple cornerbacks, Tim Jennings, Corey Graham, not worth getting excited about. Everybody in Chicago wants Vincent Jackson. Everybody in Chicago wants Mario Williams. They could very well be a player for one. They're not going to have enough money to do both. They've got about $20 million under the cap, actually down to about $16 million now that they have franchised Forte. Look for them to make one big strike. If it's not Jackson, it could be Marcus Colston. I think as much as Mario Williams would be nice, the Bears have got to get a playmate for Jay Cutler, so I'd be really surprised if they're not very active with either Colston or Jackson. And then you get to Packers, who traditionally, as you know better than me, Wayne, they're not free agency shoppers. They've got decide what happens with Nick Collins at safety. And, you know, I don't get this whole Scott Wells thing, but I've heard that they really like Chris Myers, the starting center down in Houston, who's a couple years younger. So maybe they mess around in the offensive line, but I think Ted Thompson continues to focus on the draft.
NFC West now. You take a look at Arizona. There's been a lot of talk about quarterbacks at Arizona. Once again, they made a big acquisition last year with Philadelphia. St. Louis Rams, it'll be interesting to see what they do. They need to retain Brandon Lloyd, the wide receiver. Then you look at San Francisco. A lot of free agent talent available there, Eric, at home. And Seattle, they've got $30 million of cash under the cap. Might they be big players in free agency? What do you think?
I feel like I should have a title added to my my job duties here, and that's the Peyton Manning B, because all we talk about here is just teams that possibly could be involved. And I think you start with Seattle, who, as you mentioned, they're flush with cap space. They've got Tarvaris Jackson and Josh Portis under contract, the quarterback, and as much upside as Portis might have, look, that means you have to make a play and at least look into the options of Manning. Arizona, same thing. They don't have the cap space. They could clear some room if they cut or redo Levi Brown's deal, and that obviously affects the offensive line and what they possibly could have there. But those two teams out west, even if Manning may prefer to be in the AFC, have to be considered players. They're going to look at Manning and see what the options are. You know, and the Seattle Seahawks, they were aggressive last year in free agency. They can make some other moves. They cleared cap space by cutting Marcus Trufant. You know, they've got the room to do something if they need to. Now, the 49ers, you'd think on paper, should be a player for Manning. They should be somebody who at least looks into it. My people tell me no. I kind of ran that up the flagpole in San Francisco. They said, Alex is our guy. They want to get something done with him. I'm supposed to see Alex Smith next week at the Ed Block Courage Awards, so I'll be sure to ask him if he hasn't signed a new contract by then what his plans are. But all indications, Wayne, are they're going to head forward with him as their quarterback. And we just know they need a wide receiver so badly. I mean, we saw it in the playoff loss and to the Giants. It was painfully obvious they needed a playmaker out there. Michael Crabtree wasn't getting it done. Vernon Davis was getting double teamed. So, you know, there's only so many things they can do with the guys on their roster. You know, I like to think that this is a chance for the Rams to improve their football team. You know, they obviously have a lot of good things going for them with the number two pick, likely to get a bounty in terms of trade options. But I'm curious to see what they do in free agency. You know, they've got some players that they can afford to let go. The guys that they were starting last year, the guys who were a big part of that team, aren't starting caliber guys a lot of other clubs in the NFL. So maybe you make a play on Brandon Lloyd because he played well for you. He might want to go to New England or somewhere. He's familiar with Josh McDaniels, but it wouldn't be shocking if they brought him back to give Sam Bradford yet another weapon. They've got needs in the offensive line. They've got needs on defense, especially in the secondary. So a lot of rebuilding to do with some of these clubs, but don't rule out the big moves, especially quarterback.
And free agency, the free agency season set to begin 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday in the NFL. Stay tuned. The Publisher's Pen is next on Pro Football Weekly. The Publisher's Pen with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush. Hub?
Well, Wayne, obviously the bounty hunting story out of New Orleans that has now spilled over into Washington, D.C. and other places around the league is the biggest story in the league this week, maybe in the last couple of years, and it's one that's not going to go away soon. There are going to be dramatic penalties, fines, and suspensions like we've never seen before for teams and coaches, maybe players as well. But it's interesting to me about the thing that nobody's really talking about is what's the bigger picture here, because what's really going on is some players are stepping up and saying, wait a minute, this is football. It's been going on forever. Obviously, you're trying to knock out the guy across from you. We're not trying to end his career. We're not trying to hurt him. The problem when they talked about these bounties in New Orleans is they talked about knocking guys out of games, maybe causing injury. But the reality is that you're talking about the way the game has been played for 100 years. And what's really going on here is when Roger Goodell made his mission for his legacy to be making the game safer and changing rules and talking about player safety, the paradigm began to shift. He opened up a can of worms that he may not be able to close because, again, it's going to be real simple to fine and suspend these guys in New Orleans. You can't do it the way they did it, but you're always going to have players trying to knock out the guy across from them. That's the way the game is played, and this is just one more extension of the problem with what they're trying to do of making the game safer for players.
Thanks, Hub. That'll do it for Pro Football Weekly this week. The coordinating producer and engineer of Pro Football Weekly is Randy Meyer. Pro Football Weekly originates in the studios of Syndication Networks in Chicago, Illinois. For Hub Arkush, Eric Edholm, and the Pro Football Weekly staff, this is Wayne Larrabee. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on Pro Football Weekly.